Well, welcome to podcast number two of Him Jim's podcast. I'm Jim, and today I have a very special guest, someone that I met first online, and then found out that he knows some friends of mine here in Rhode Island. It's been a real pleasure to have met Jerry, and Jerry is from the Southwest, and he works in the military, and he served in the military for 13 years. Is that correct, Jerry?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and now he works as a civilian on an Air Force base in the Southwest. So today we're just going to talk about what it's like to be a Christian in the work that the Lord has given us to do, and Jerry's work is on an Air Force base. So Jerry, just give a little background about yourself and tell us how you came to know the Lord first, then you can get into a little bit more detail about your background and where you are today.
Oh, okay. Sure. So I grew up in a Christian home. You know, my dad was my dad loved Jesus, and he still does. And his dad before him was a missionary for the Baptists, for the Independent Fundamental Baptist denomination. So I grew up in a pretty, I grew up hearing about Jesus all the time. Let me just put it that way.
Yeah.
So when I was 6 years old, I was in San Antonio. I was living with my Aunt Amy at the time.
Okay.
And I remember when I was like, when I was young, 6 years old, I remember reading, they had on the church building, they had an alley between the worship place and the fellowship hall, you know?
Okay.
And I remember there was a white door there, and I would read this verse all the time and just think about it. And, you know, it was John 3:16, right? Mm-hmm. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it was around that time when I was just 6 years old, you know, I really started to give Jesus serious thought, you know, about who he is, and because my whole family believed in him. So I don't know what it is. It seems to me, like me having children now, if the parents believe, the children will believe too, you know. It just seems that way to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe in some families when they grow older and they go to college and maybe they rebel against their parents or, but I will tell you, as far as my judgment goes, in my opinion, you know, I could be wrong, but it seems if the parents really are serious about the Lord Jesus and they know him and have a relationship with him and trust in him, it just seems to me that their children will follow too, you know?
Right. That's the foundation that they have built.
Yeah.
For their children, for their family.
Yeah.
They didn't build it on themselves, but they built it on the Lord and the relationship with the Lord.
Right. But in any case, you know, so I believed, and I believed the preaching, you know, and it was always a preaching of, hey, you could die any second. You know, we're all guilty of sin. And we're all deserving to go to hell, you know, mm-hmm. in the lake of fire. And the only way out is to trust Jesus. And, you know, as a child, that all I knew is what they were saying. So, and that's basically what I remember they were saying.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, the tradition is they would always do an invitation after services, you know, mm-hmm. to come up. If you're not saved, you know, you need to know you're saved today. And I didn't go up because I was still pretty shy kid, you know. I wasn't about to go up there. But before I left that service, I remember turning to my Aunt Amy and I was like, you know, hey, I need to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, you know, because I figured she could tell me what I needed to do.
Okay.
So in any case, She did what she was trained to do, you know, as a good Baptist, and walked the Romans road with me, you know, and explained how We can't do anything to earn salvation, but it's a free gift. And she said to me, you know, just ask and the Lord will give it to you. He will save you. Call on him and be baptized later. And that's what I did. And ever since then, I was six. Six years old.
Okay.
Yeah. And as I grew older, I did doubt my salvation a lot. Many times. Especially as I came into my teenage years.
Yeah.
You know, as the sin in my flesh began to manifest itself. And I don't know if I was just confused by preaching or I didn't understand what they were saying. Maybe they were saying it wrong. I don't know. But, you know, when I would sin and I would still see sin in my life, really, really shook me, you know.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't yet grounded in the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus and faith and all that.
Right.
So it was that fear, you know, that drove me again to really study the scriptures and find out what this really all meant. And I tell you what, it was a good reading of Romans, the book of Romans for myself, mm-hmm. you know, where I finally settled it. And just settled it in my heart. Because I remember I would lay awake at night praying to God. You know, I'm like, God, if I'm not saved, you'd know whether I'm saved or not.
Yeah.
And I would just ask him, you know, if I'm not saved, please save me and forgive me. You know, just in case.
Yeah.
Because I really wasn't sure, even though I was baptized and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I remember reading the book of Romans and, you know, things just, maybe the whole book, I ain't going to say that I understood the whole book or anything, but there was certain points that were just nailed home, you know, mm-hmm. like when he said, to him that worketh is the reward then reckoned of debt, you know, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on the God, you know, that justifieth the ungodly. Then it is reckoned of grace.
Right.
And it was those kind of verses that just settled it in my heart. I was like, I finally realized, I'm not going to change myself. I'm not going to make myself fit for the kingdom of God. But this is God's work. And he will do it. And that faith is the same faith that Abraham had when he believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness.
Right.
And it's that faith, you know, that saves. And it's that faith, by the way, that does have the living works,
mm-hmm.
the works of God.
Yeah.
But they're the works of God, not mine.
Right.
And I came to realize that, and it gave me peace, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me peace for the future. But I will tell you that I still struggled with sin. And you know what? It really wasn't... I still struggle with sin, honestly.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But the you thing is, yeah. But later on, I learned, you know, it's a matter of faith. The reason why, this is my understanding as I see it now, but I believe the reason why we fall, you know, is mainly due to our unbelief. And I truly do believe that God and Jesus, he saves us from our sins. And he does work in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. I find that today I just enjoy not sinning. And that really comes in having a relationship. And it's walking as Jesus walked to speak those things that the Father is saying. And to do those things which you see your Father do. People may not understand what I'm saying when I say that,
mm-hmm.
but I would say that you just have to have the Spirit of God to relate to that.
Yeah, it's kind of you know? Hard as a child, especially, you know, someone that confesses Christ at six, to understand the sanctification, how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Until, you know, we actually grow into that knowledge, how the Lord is working in our lives. I'm not to say that you can't understand that at that young age. But just, you know, at 6 years old, you haven't lived yet, right?
Right.
You know, you're still trying to understand the whole world and what's around you. There's things that you see new every day.
Oh, sure. Definitely.
So, you know, to bring that all in. But to have that foundation and to know the Lord at that young age, that's just really awesome.
Yeah, you know, that was a blessing. That was a blessing. And I would say I do count it as an advantage that was given to me. But still, you know, when a man receives the Spirit of God Almighty, time is really kind of irrelevant, I think.
Yeah.
Because the Lord can show a man and change him in an instant. And, you know, I've seen men who just repented yesterday seem to be wiser than brethren I know that repented like 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's funny how that would kind of work sometimes.
Yeah.
But, so that's how I came to believe the gospel and repent. You know, and in the beginning, it was just fear, man. I was just totally afraid, you know, yeah. In total fear. And but as I grew older, you know, I'm not moved by fear anymore so much as God has shown me love, you know,
right.
And the love of God and His mercy on me, and just the joy of seeing and. Well, I don't know. If you can understand what I mean by seeing, perceiving, and living in the kingdom day by day.
Yeah.
And just having that personal relationship with Jesus, you know, and having that peace that comes with that. Like, I know the Lord, you know, mm-hmm. And there's nothing that can convince me today, ever, that God is not real and His Son is not real and alive today.
Yeah.
There's nothing that can shake me from that.
Right.
You know, and that's just, if there's anything that I'm grateful for, it's that. And I praise the Lord that it'll never be taken from me.
Right.
And I had already come to that place of being rooted in that, you know, before I joined the Army. And I joined the Army at the age of 21.
Okay.
And, but before that, man, in my teenage years, as I said, it was very rocky. But through all that, you know, I met good brethren, man, who were charitable. And I remember being evicted all the time and having no place to stay or go. But then the Lord would send a brother, you know. These brethren would just receive us into their house, you know, until we got back on our feet. And it's kind of a sad thing that you don't see that often today. But I praise the Lord that I saw it, and I think it really affected me, you know, going on later in life to understand the blessing that it is to give. And
it's kind of like what Paul was saying, that he knew what it was like to experience just about everything, you know, to live,
yeah.
To live in want and to live in plenty and all the rest of that verse, you know, he knew.
Oh, yeah. And I grew up dirt poor, too.
Yeah.
But I never went hungry, brother. You know, I'll tell you that. I never went hungry. I went. There was one day where it was pretty close.
Yeah.
We came close.
Yeah.
And I remember we were just sitting there and we had, like, you know, maybe some jelly. That's it. It was, our pantry was totally empty, man. But my dad's friend, our brother Kevin, he came by that night with some pizza. And the Lord always made sure we were fed.
That's so cool.
And you know what? It was never due to any. It wasn't due to my dad's righteousness. You know, my dad. If people were to look at him, they would probably say, "Well, he wasn't a righteous dude." And for sure, he fell many times.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you something about my dad. He believed, and he believes, and that makes all the difference.
Yeah.
And
so
my
you
dad,
you still have your mom and your dad with you?
Yeah, yeah. My mom lives up in Rhode Island, where you're at.
Okay.
And my dad is he's down in Texas, yeah, in San Antonio.
Okay.
He's actually living at the very same city where that church was I told you about, Town East Baptist, when I was, when I heard the gospel at eight, yeah. I mean, six yeah. years old. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I would say probably, I don't know, maybe I've had more, by the time I joined the Army, maybe I had more experience, you know, as far as the ups and downs of life and the craziness of it all mm-hmm. Than others, you know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the most traumatic thing, because through all that, the Lord did protect me and keep me, and he didn't let me go too far, and I praise the Lord for that.
Right. Yeah, he tends to keep his sheep, doesn't he?
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
But it was during that time I really began to seek the Lord, you know, in my early 20s. Before I left for the Army, I asked my wife, Elizabeth, well, I asked her dad first, because, you know, that's how I was brought up. Yes. So I asked her dad if I could write her while I was away. It was like the day before I left.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was the day before I left for the Army. Because I knew that if I didn't have, I don't know, at the time, the Lord kind of just showed me, you know, it was like, she's the one, man. And he showed me how it was all going to happen. And I remember my little brother, he had a huge crush on her too. And I told him everything that was going to go down, you know. I was like, look, I'm gonna write her while I'm away. And then when I get back, you know, I'm going to marry her. And I remember he got so upset. But that's what the Lord told me, man. So, yeah. So that day, I asked her dad if I could write her while I was gone. And he said yes. And, you know, the relationship flourished. And I thank God for her, too. Because, mm-hmm. you know, being a young man in the military, there's a lot of temptation, you know, especially youthful lust, like fornication and all that.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. And that was very dangerous, you know. So I thank the Lord that I always had Elizabeth back at home and to look forward to, you know. And
did you get married while you were in the military?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, okay. So you had like a leave or a sabbatical or something?
Yeah, I got married right after I returned from my first deployment to Iraq, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So... yeah, I wound up going to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, after I joined the Army. Went to airborne school and all that. Mm-hmm. And you know what the most important thing, I would tell any brother, the most important thing you can do in the workplace is make sure people know that you love Jesus. Mm. You know, at least tell them one time. I don't get into people's faces all the time and preach because, right. you know, I'm at work, right?
Yep.
I have a job to do. And the Lord says, you know, whatsoever thy hands find to do, do with thy might as unto right. the Lord.
Right.
And I'm not getting paid to preach the gospel to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, there's always opportunity. Mm-hmm. Always opportunity in. Whenever I meet new people or whenever I go to a new assignment or new job, I always try to make it a point to tell them that I love Jesus. And, you know, every time I do, the Lord blesses me. And I know brethren, you know, my brother David, I met him in the Army. And he's a good brother, faithful brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells me, he's like, I don't even try, man. And this dude, he's always been at the top of his classes, you know, always the highest rated soldiers. Because, you know, in the Army, you get ratings, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you're an NCO. When you become an NCO, which is like an E5 sergeant and okay. above, you get ratings every year. And what they do is they rate you out of your peers. They didn't always used to do that, but now they do. But, yeah, David always got top marks, and he is he's a first sergeant now, but, he told me, he was like, yeah, it's just, I don't even try, man. And I was like, of course, man, it's the Lord in you, you know?
Right.
And that's the thing. I remember that verse, in Galatians. I think it's Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, maybe verse 20. I don't remember the exact reference, but where he said, said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Mm. And he said, in the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And, you know, I consider that, and, you know, I really acknowledge and reckon this to be so. Mm. That when I put on the uniform, it wasn't me putting on the uniform. It was Christ. And when I went to PT in the morning, it wasn't me. It was Christ. And anything I did and was told to do, I always acknowledged it as, it's Christ in me. You know? And I'm only along for the ride to see the work of the Lord. But, yeah, I would just tell everybody, you know. And I'll give you a specific instance. Sure. The very first person that I ever saw converted was at work. It was at work, right, while I was deployed to Iraq. Yeah. So,
you were in Iraq during the Iraq War?
Yeah, it was in 2007.
Okay.
That's when I was there. I was deployed from 07 to the end of 07 to the beginning of 09. I think it was.
Yeah.
07 to, it was actually 07 to 08. It was a 13-month deployment. And then right after I got back, I got married. And while I was there, I remember we were standing around, you know, the guys were smoking and joking. And the topic, see, these things, this topic will always come up. No matter what, you just give it time. And that's Jesus.
Yeah,
men
right.
talk about Jesus.
Yep.
They really do. You just got to give it some time. And the Lord always brings that subject up.
Yep.
And Brother Joe, he was my roommate, you know, in Iraq. He was an infantryman. I think this was his second deployment. And his previous deployment, he had gotten blown up. But he volunteered for this assignment, you know, and me and him, we came from different units, but we got sent to the same unit with the MPs to help out with a certain mission there.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, Joe was telling these two other men, I forget their names. One of them, his name was Nicholas, I think. And the other, I can't remember the other guy's name.
Yeah.
But he began to talk about, you know, oh, how I'm a good person and you just got to do more good than bad. You know, stuff like that. You know,
right.
The typical spiel, yep, of people that don't know the gospel.
Right.
You know, do enough good and you'll get to heaven. Mm-hmm. And I didn't mean to, and I didn't really realize how harsh I may have come off, but he told me later. But the way he tells me the story is that I pretty much like laid into him, you know, rebuked him. And I told him, yeah, I told him straight to his face in front of the both of them. Because I think when I remember it, right, I was really saying it for their sakes, not Joe's sake, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But because, you know, he was telling a lie, man. I couldn't let that fly.
Yeah.
So I told him, I was like, you don't know God, man. I was like, you don't know the Bible. You don't know the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you're preaching a false gospel that's going to send people to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And when he told me that when he left, he was like cussing me out, you know, cursing me all the way back to the chew. But he said when he lay down in his bed, you know, that fear got a hold of him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he thought about what I said, and he prayed, and he called out to God, man.
Wow.
And the next morning, you know, because I came in later and went to sleep. Next morning, I get up. This guy, he looks at me with the biggest smile on his face. He's like, what did he say? It was just something like, it happened, or something like that. It happened. I'm like, what happened? He's like, I'm saved. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, man, I was thinking about what you said, and I just asked him to save me, and I'm at total peace now. And yeah, that was amazing, brother.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And he was baptized later. I baptized him. and I baptized two other men, Stephen and another man named Christian.
Wow.
Baptized them in Iraq. And yeah, we started a little Bible study.
Huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They had a little chapel there. Okay. You know, they had a little chapel there and a little baptismal. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. That's
cool. Yeah, and we started our little Bible study, and Brother Joe calls it the Church of Baghdad, you know.
Yeah.
He tells me about that all the time. He's like, remember the Church of Baghdad, man? But I was just a kid, and I didn't really know the Bible that well. But you know what I did know? We read together. That's it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. We just read together.
Yeah.
And
the word goes forth. And
yeah, amen. It, you know, the truth really is, you don't have to have all the understanding in the world. You don't have to be the wisest person in the world. All you got to do is be willing to tell people the gospel. And the gospel's so simple. And tell them about Jesus.
Mm.
And tell them you love Jesus. And show them you love Jesus.
Yeah.
And if you really do love Jesus, you know, it's something that really you can't hide.
Right.
You know?
Right.
The Lord won't let you. I don't think he'll let you.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll let you?
No. I mean, he's always working. He's at work in you. And the difference between a saved person and a person still living in the world is going to be a big contrast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they see it. And they know it, you know, like Romans 1 says, you know, they're always, if they don't believe in God, they're suppressing the truth, and when they see the truth and being lived out in others,
right,
you know, they're at a crossroads. They're either going to make a decision to suppress that truth, or they're going to make, you know, a decision to go forward and ask, and or just like what happened with your friend there, you might not ask, but the Holy Spirit will take what you said and work on that person as they're lying in the bed.
Hmm.
You know?
Amen.
So,
and you know what? I'll tell you something. When Brother Joe was saved, I really wasn't at the place I was supposed to be either, man.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of put the Lord on the back burner, you know, and just wasn't thinking about it. I was just thinking about, how I didn't want to be there in Iraq. And I just wanted to get home and marry my wife. And I was just even falling into sin, you know, things like pornography and just partying, you know.
Yeah.
But I tell you, the Lord used Brother Joe to bring me back and revive me, man. When I saw Brother Joe get saved, and well, it started when I heard him preaching a false gospel, you know.
Right.
That just kind of moved me. And from there, the Lord worked in me, man, it was just a great period of change in my life. And Brother Joe, he still calls me, and he was the best man at my wedding, and I was the best man at his wedding.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah, he's a blessed brother.
Yeah.
So after that, I went to Colorado,
mm-hmm.
and that's where I met my brother David, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's nothing like having brethren at work.
Right.
And when another brother is there at work with you who believes, you know, like you do, work just doesn't become work anymore. It's I don't know. It's just
a fellowship.
Yeah, it's just good to be there, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good to be there.
Yeah. I haven't had too many of those opportunities myself.
Yeah.
A few times that's worked out where I found other believers.
Yeah.
So the Lord brought you home, helped you survive Iraq, and 13 years in the military. So during that time, you met your wife, and you have a household of women now.
Yeah, I have six daughters now.
Six daughters.
Yeah. When people see them, they're always like, are you Mormon? I'm like, no, I'm not Mormon. I just love children, man.
There you go.
Yeah. The Bible says they're like the arrows. What does it say? They're like the arrows of a mighty man, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, your quiver is full.
Yeah, you know, I put a lot of thought into, you know, children. As a married couple, you know, for married couples out there, one of the greatest things you could do for the kingdom is to raise godly children.
Yeah.
You know, because it's leaving a posterity, you know, and it's leaving behind more than just one of yourself, but multiple. You know, it's another way to multiply. And whereas in the world, it's much more difficult to get somebody to persuade people, to persuade strangers. But I'm telling you, when you have little children that love you and depend on you, it's easier to persuade them. And the Bible promises, and the Bible promises, you know, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is older, he will not depart from it. I believe that with all my heart. So, yeah, as far as being at work, what's it like?
Yeah, what's it like when you have a military, which I imagine is different today than it was back in the 2000s, you know, now?
Yeah.
You know, you're always reading things about what's going on now in the military and how they are changing the way you can go about talking with people. Even Trump had come out and talked about getting rid of critical race theory in the military. So we can see that the secularism had gotten into the military, and they were espousing these unbiblical principles and putting it into how they are training the people that are going into the military. So how have you found that to be nowadays compared to like when you first went in?
Oh yeah, when I first went in, it was in 2006. It was like the last year of George Bush's presidency.
Yeah.
So I got to see the military change a whole lot. And I think that was the reason why I eventually just left. Because I remember getting training on, I remember seeing this lieutenant standing up there telling me that, oh yeah, gender is just a construct. And, you know, these people suffer from gender dysphoria. And the only cure for that is to make them, you know, give them surgery to transition to another gender that they're not, you know.
So that was pretty prevalent.
Yeah, before I left.
Yeah, before you left, yeah.
Yeah. Because they were giving us training on, you know, letting transgenders into the military now.
Right.
And, you know, the thing about the military is that they could be honest with each other, you know. And the dude up there, he was just telling us, he was like, yeah, guys, this is just, this is the policy now. This is what's coming down. And we know many people don't like it. And he was like, even I myself am thinking about, you know, do I want to stay in or just get out? And that's the thing about the military that's probably a little different than the civilian world, is that they don't get their feelings hurt as easily.
Okay.
You know, they're kind of more open to dialogue. But even so, it's still pretty oppressive, you know.
Yeah.
But how do you resist something like that? I suppose I couldn't, you know, because as a soldier, you have an obligation, you know. You're under contract and you have an obligation to follow lawful orders.
Right.
And while they may not be lawful according to the Lord, you know, still, we still have religious freedom, I guess, and lawful according to the world. You know?
Yeah.
I would say in the workplace, you kind of got to pick your battles. You know, what hill are you going to die on?
Okay.
Are you going to die on the hill of politics? You know, are you going to die on the hill of one certain issue? I think I would rather just die on the hill of Calvary, you know? Just the gospel itself. And,
is the freedom still there to share the Lord, though? Can you?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It is, for sure. You'll still see Bibles everywhere, you know. You'll still see the chaplain handing out Bibles and stuff.
Yeah.
And some chaplains do, in fact, pray in the name of Jesus. So, especially after Trump won. I'm going to tell you this. After President Trump won, there was a great change. I was hearing Jesus everywhere. But before that, it seemed like it was kind of stifled a lot, you know? Just okay. The atmosphere. But
you were in, if you went in 06, then you were in there the whole time.
For all of Obama's presidency, all of Obama. Yeah.
Yeah. So actually left in 2019 then. Or 18 or 19, right?
Yeah, last year, 2019.
Yeah. So you could see the transition from one commander-in-chief to the other.
Right.
So there was a little bit more freedom when Trump came in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I don't know if it was any change of any freedom or anything. It just seemed like people were way more comfortable with just praising Jesus all the time, you know, okay. than they were before.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The thing about the whole PC culture is that people are a lot more afraid of it than they should be.
Mm.
They really are, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. Because, I don't understand that, you know, when people are afraid of what other people can do.
But obviously, don't ever be afraid. Especially, you know what, the greatest protection you will have is doing great work.
Mm-hmm.
If you always doing the right thing and you're the best they have, they're not going to give you any problems, man.
Right.
Especially about just believing in Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean,
unless
you work for some like ungodly company like Amazon or something. I don't know.
Well, tell us now, as far as being a civilian working on a Air Force base, what it's like, if it's different from when you were actually in the military.
Yeah, you know, it is very different.
Okay.
I would say it is very different because in the military, you can't just up and quit, you know?
Yeah.
But as a civilian now, I have my liberty back. So I know that I can up and leave anytime I want.
Okay.
And you know, my exhortation to people out there is invest in people, invest in your brethren, and make sure that you have good friends that sticks. Get yourself a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And the more you have, the better. Because I find that there is a great fear that can put you into bondage. And that's the fear of, oh, what if I lose my job, you know, and I lose my income for whatever thing. You know, you got to get rid of that fear.
Yeah.
And one of the ways I found to do that is through my life, you know, I've helped people. Because that's what I was taught from my youth. When I saw those people, you know, help my family out in our times of trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and what the Lord said. He said, give to them that ask. And of him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away.
Right.
And you know, a wise man does this. And something I realize is like, rich men, they don't necessarily have a lot of money, but they have good friends.
Yeah.
Because if you have good friends, they'll always be there for you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, and I've never had a fear of losing my job, ever.
Mm.
And it gives me boldness just to say what I believe.
Yep.
And I could be honest with people.
Yep.
You know, I'm not afraid of them firing me for what I say.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody should be. No American, no Christian should ever be afraid to say what they believe. And again, just do the best work you can. And it's a shield that you have. It's what you call the breastplate of righteousness, you know.
It's
a piece of armor that we have on.
Right.
Because if you're righteous, you know, my boss loves me. He does. His name is Bob.
Okay.
And I remember at last year's Christmas party, it was only me. I could only go. Anyway, they bought like gifts for each other and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like a Secret Santa kind of deal, you know, where you just grab a gift. And Bob, he grabbed mine.
Okay.
You know, and I had written a little verse on the Christmas card. I can't remember exactly what verse it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember him pulling me aside. He was like, "Man, thank you for that." And you know, he was talking about the verse.
Yeah.
And I've talked to Bob about the gospel and Jesus, and he's a believer too.
Wow, cool.
You know, and that's
yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. The Lord has blessed me, you know, with a boss who is not a raging liberal heathen devil.
Yeah, right. That is but a blessing.
Yeah, it is a blessing. It is a blessing. It makes all the difference.
Yep.
I don't know. I would just praise the Lord. And I would say, you know, in any walk, like wherever you are, whether you're working or at home or whatever, I would say the key is to just take it moment by moment and always be listening to for the voice of our Father. And don't be self-willed. Don't be presumptuous about things. Mm. And wait, be led of the Spirit. Because if you're led of the Spirit, you truly are a son of God.
Right.
And being a son of God in this world is powerful.
Yeah.
It really is. You see people around you change. You see the world around you change. Because our God, He is the living God. Mm. And He lives within us. And our God is a consuming fire. And, you know, He's not neutral in things. He changes things. He really does. He changes people.
Yeah. He's a God of action.
We read that's
the
what
whole
it is.
Scripture. Yeah, the whole scripture teaches us that God is the creator God that still works in his people.
And amen.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he's not asleep, is he?
No, he's not. He is not. And like you said, he's a consuming fire. That means that he's always working. He's always active.
Amen.
So he's always moving forward, and he uses people, which is another amazing thing to me.
You know,
he uses fallen creatures that he redeems and cleans up, but, you know, in this world we'll never be perfect, but we're on that walk to be conformed into the image of his Son. And Amen. While we're walking forward, he gives us opportunity. And that's what I want this podcast to be about, you know, will we be able to share those opportunities and how God has blessed us in so many ways, abundantly, like the scriptures, like this says, anything that we could ask or think. It's only when we stop and reflect that we can see how God has brought us through all these things and blessed us with these blessings.
Yes, sir.
Anything that you would like to just say to finish up here?
Sure. You know what I would say? Bless your coworkers too. Bless them. Mm-hmm. You know, don't speak evil of the people you work with at all. Never do it.
Yeah.
And if you really can't find a way to bless anybody, just don't say anything.
Yeah.
But really let people know how grateful you are for that job. Let people know how grateful you are just to know them and to be with them, you know, and see the change.
Yeah.
Because it's so true. It's so simple, but it's so profound, but it is so simple. Mm. You reap what you sow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, the beautiful part of it is I never reap exactly what I sow. Because, you know, you think about it, you sow a seed, right?
Yep.
It doesn't pop up as a seed.
Right, it doesn't grow as a seed, right.
Yeah, it multiplies.
Yeah,
it multiplies.
Yeah, it multiplies, that's right. And you have fruit, and there's fruit.
Exactly.
And, fruit doesn't look anything like the seed, although the fruit will have more seeds in it.
Right.
Amazing, right?
Yeah, amen.
But that's how it goes forward. That's how it goes
forward. Yeah. So I tell you, you just say, if you're having a hard time at work, you know, and I've heard brethren before, you know, talk about pray for me at work. I'm having a hard time. And
right.
we do get persecuted sometimes.
Yeah.
But that's where the whole be wise as serpents, harmless as doves thing kind of comes into play.
Yeah.
You just bless somebody. Just say one good thing about them. Like, hey, you know, I just want to tell you, well done back there. You know, that was a great job you did.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, it's just a privilege just to watch you work, man. You know, you really are a hard worker. Something like that.
Yeah.
And watch, it'll come back.
Mm.
Come back tenfold, man.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
That's great wisdom there, Jerry. Thank you very much for that.
Oh yeah, praise the Lord, man.
And the Lord has blessed you with your family, your wife, and your six daughters.
That's a full-time job right there.
Yes. Well, Jerry, it's been a pleasure. I appreciate your time and the wisdom of what you brought to this podcast. Thank you, Jerry. God bless.